Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Debbie Guy Geesh of Revenue Marketer Radio, and welcome back. We've been on hiatus for a little bit, but we're starting our fall season this month of August, and we are really looking forward to the upcoming revenue marketers that we are going to be talking to. I am so excited to have the particular revenue marketer on the show today. We're going to be talking about how you build a revenue marketing center of excellence. And sometimes people use the term revenue performance management, and to me, those terms are interchangeable. But before we get started, let me remind everybody, what's a working definition of a revenue marketer? So a revenue marketer is two people, really. It's a combination of sales and marketing that really does two things. Number one, puts high-quality leads into the top of the funnel. And number two, accelerates opportunities through the pipeline. And the thing I love about working with revenue marketers is they all understand it's about the number. It's about revenue. And I will tell everybody this. Our guest today, Liz McClellan, is an absolute revenue marketer. As a matter of fact, she likes to say she's a brand advocate and a revenue marketer. So let me tell you a little bit about Liz, and then we're going to find out what Sage has done to begin to build a RPM, or Revenue Performance Management Center of Excellence. First of all, Liz is the VP of Marketing and Sales for Sage. I think she's been with Sage for about 10 years, and her business group is Sage 50, where she runs marketing communications, new customer acquisition, retail sales, and also online strategy. Liz is a 15, 16, 17-year veteran in the sales and marketing world, and also does a wonderful monthly guest blog for B2B online, around all things revenue marketing. So Liz, welcome to the show.
Hi, Debbie. It's good to be back.
And I have to tell you guys, not only is she a great revenue marketer, she's a very good friend of mine as well. And I have really worked with Liz for the past 2 years, and I've seen the journey that Sage has been taking. So I will tell you right now, her journey is very, very exciting. So now, Liz, why don't you start with our guests, because a lot of them may not have heard the term center of excellence, in particular as it's applied to marketing or revenue marketing or to revenue performance management. So why don't you begin by maybe giving us a working definition?
Well, sure, and thanks, Debbie. I mean, this is a great conversation to have because you have been with us through the beginning of this journey when we were really at our exploratory stage of where do we go from here? How do we become revenue performance marketers, and how do we transform our company? So from our early days of implementing our system and realizing some efficiencies within our own business units to our now current state, which is building out the Revenue Performance Management Center of Excellence. So to answer your question, the Center of Excellence is really, it's a centralized group of shared marketing services. So for us, we've been managing a lot of marketing at the business unit level, but this centralized group of shared marketing services also consists of a centralized infrastructure and process, enabling our organization to bring the programs to market and leverage key corporate assets and best practices. I've said it before, and you'll see it in my blogs, we've created some great work within the individual units at Sage, and now it's time to take it up a notch and create that from a centralized group, leverage our best practices, and really go to market in the most effective manner possible.
Liz, that's a really interesting story in that you were doing most of the demand generation, revenue marketing, RPM marketing at a field level. And now with the Center of Excellence, you're moving to a shared services model and a different structure and different roles and responsibilities between corporate and field or business unit marketing. What was behind the change? I mean, why make that change?
Well, Deb, I'll give you a little bit of history here, and I think you're quite familiar with most of it. You know, if you look back at our history 2, 3, even 4 years ago, there were different business units at Sage all trying to embark on this marketing automation RPM journey. And like I said earlier, everyone was doing great work, but we were all doing it in silos. And so thankfully, someone kind of stepped back and said, how do we take what we've learned within each of the business units and really capitalize on this? At one point, Debbie, we actually had, I think, upwards of 7 different marketing automation platforms in place at Sage. Now, of course, that's a little bit embarrassing to admit, but you know me, I'm pretty transparent. Just the consolidation of the technology alone is a big journey, you know, a big step forward. Now that we're all moving to one platform, of course, Eloqua, we'll get a lot of economies of scale and a lot of efficiencies by moving in that direction. So here we are today, we're consolidating teams and processes, and as I mentioned earlier, we're really in this early stages of the journey. We spent the last year looking at how we could be most effective as an organization, and while we haven't fully embarked on it, we'll start to put this structure in place in the fall. I feel like we've done a lot of the right work to get us there.
So, again, this is really interesting, Liz, because, again, I think a lot of our listeners, especially our larger enterprise listeners, you know, they probably had very similar situations to what you guys have. You know, a lot of pockets, a lot of silos, a lot of different systems, a lot of people doing good work but not necessarily sharing it in a North American or even, you know, a global level to do that. And so I think that, you know, I think that's just pretty standard, you know, for a lot of companies who are looking to do that. How many business units do you guys have?
We have about 12 that we're trying to consolidate. You know, the holy grail for us, Deb, and for any, you know, CEO of a large organization, we really want to get a common set of KPIs, common reporting, and get common service level agreements in place so that, you know, if the president of our company can look down and see the performance in a common manner across business unit. We all had different sets of data that we were reporting on, but there was no one common view. And what we're about to realize is really going to be extraordinary once we get there.
So for our listeners, again, you know, Sage is at, I wouldn't say they're at the beginning of the Center of Excellence journey, but I would say this. I think that where they are probably puts them ahead of about 90-95% of all enterprise marketing companies in North America and potentially even the globe. So I want to back up for a minute, Liz, and I want you to share with our listeners, you know, where you are on the journey right now, and then I really want you to kind of share what you guys did over the last year to get the background so that you could decide that this would be a good move for you. So where are you today, and over the last year, what did it take to get that kind of assessment in place? Because, you know, this probably cost a dollar or two to get this done, right?
Well, sure, I can give you as much history as time allows here. So, as you know, Sage just went through a pretty tremendous brand transformation. We moved from a house of brands to a branded house. And prior to that, what that means, we were operating, as I mentioned, in our individual business silos and communicating to pockets of customers by business group or product line. There was no real overarching strategy, and we didn't have one clear view into customers and prospects. So, fast forward, we completed our brand transformation around the summer, and what we're trying to do in terms of making sure that customers know who we are, we're trying to be more effective in our communication to them. So a few years ago, we were on multiple different platforms. We're consolidating towards one platform, which is Eloqua, and one CRM platform in the fall. We have about a dozen different groups to move onto one platform or one instance. And so right now we're in, I guess I'd call it discovery. We are having some very in-depth business planning sessions right now with each of the business unit stakeholders and trying to decide who should move and when and how and mapping out how to do our moves and make sure that we don't miss a beat in the meantime. Does that help answer your question about where we are?
Yep. That's where you are right now, but you're actually further along than that. I don't want our listeners to think, because one of the things that you guys have done is you've already created a model for what the Center of Excellence will look like,
And the technology roll-up is just one part of that. So maybe you can share with us how you guys arrived at that model.
Sure. So in terms of how we're going to structure this group, we are identifying a leader, a VP, I guess, or an SVP of RPM, and that leader will have a few direct reports. One of those direct reports would be focused on the demand gen center, and one of those would be focused on the marketing ops piece. So if you think about it, you've got one RPM leader who will report up to a C-level executive, and then on the demand gen side, we'll have folks focused on program management, content strategy, campaign services, best practices, and then, of course, on the ops side, we'll have data specialists, process specialists, and folks like reporting and field liaisons to communicate back with the business units and make sure that everything's in alignment.
So
and that org will start.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. It'll start when?
I was just going to say, and so that org has been laid out in terms of, you know, what it looks like on paper, and we're in the process of making sure we have the right folks, the right talent, the right training, everything in place so that we can be up and ready this fall.
So how did you get Sage to go along with that? And what I mean is, you know, you had responsibility that was at a business unit level. Now some of that's moving up to corporate. I mean, what was the process that you guys went through that got everybody on the same page to move in that direction?
Well, Deb, we looked at the ROI. We looked at the talent across our org. We looked at the marketing spend that we were all individually spending on RPM systems, campaigns, et cetera. Also, we looked in-depth at our vendor spend. You know, as I mentioned before, at one point we had over 6 or 7 different marketing automation platforms within Sage, but we did a very in-depth marketing audit, and I think you actually used this phrase. We gained a stark view of reality. It was really an eye-opener. When we looked at the data behind what the activity was doing, you know, there were about 70 to 100 active vendors being used across the business units. And as you know, as you operate in individual business unit silos, there's a huge duplication of efforts. In some cases, we found that we were buying the same lists more than once. Overall, efforts weren't coordinated, and that's not to say anything negative about the good work that people were doing in their groups. There just wasn't visibility, Deb, into what folks were focused on. And so there were major, you know, things that we identified that we realized would be benefited by centralizing and organizing this in this RPM COE. And in addition, we found that we didn't have a consistent documented lead process. There was no common set of funnel conversion metrics, and honestly, we weren't even speaking the same language. You know, marketing qualified leads might have meant something different to different groups. And so when we found that there were a lot of activities going on that just weren't aligned, it was really easy at that point to put together some kind of ROI that showed, okay, if we join together and we really align on these key objectives, here are the economies that we can realize from a people, a process, a brand, an ROI standpoint.
It just makes so much sense to do that. But I'd also like you to share with our listeners, Liz, I think you guys put together kind of like an internal like SWAT team or Tiger team or something like that to kind of go out and do this. Because I think that process is exactly the way large organizations need to approach this. So I thought that was a very effective process. So let's hear how you guys did that.
So I have to actually give a, you know, big kudo to our president, Pascal. He assigned a SWAT team, a small team of cross-functional leaders to get together and focus on how to best streamline new customer acquisition across Sage. Now, we all had our day jobs to do, but this he actually called it a renaissance team. We were still doing our day jobs, but we pulled together and identified, all right, if we want to streamline new customer acquisition, what does that really look like? What does that mean? What will it take us to get there? And so we started meeting, I think we met for 6 to 8 months. And at the beginning, we had a charter document of our objectives and how, you know, we thought we would best meet them. And then we assigned separate work streams to the team. So, for instance, I think there are about 12 or 15 people on the team. Each person on that team served on a sub-team that rolled up to an executive sponsor. And so we would meet frequently, each team obviously working on their objectives, and then report back. And it was an amazing, amazing opportunity, and there was a lot of great work that came out of it. It was definitely overwhelming at times, but in the end, we all fully believed in the model that we were recommending, and no one could argue with the numbers, Debbie. It seemed a little daunting at first, but when you said, you know, hey, let's take an honest look at this. If we've got 70-plus vendors doing this work, do we really need that? You know, and aligning our talent was a big win for us, too. We had pockets of just, you know, what I would call RPM masters throughout the org, but they were kind of spread across the organization. And so when we pulled together this team and put together the recommendations, it was, I mean, I don't want to undercut the great work that was done, but it was almost a no-brainer at the end because the numbers made sense. The aligning of resources made sense, and, you know, from an employee standpoint, it made sense. This new org is going to do some pretty cool things.
So I want to come back, and I want to get a little bit more information about the Renaissance team because, again, I think that any company listening to this, any company thinking about there's got to be a better way for us to have marketing make an impact on revenue, I think they'd be very interested. So one of the things that you mentioned, Liz, about the Renaissance team is that they had different work streams. What were those work streams?
We had three work streams, Debbie. We divided up. One work stream was focused on vendor consolidation, or I guess I should say vendor optimization. What we did was that team looked at all of the vendors that we were working with and also looked at the needs of the business and decided to focus on how can we optimize our spend there. Do we even have the right vendors in place? And then we had a technology team who was really focused on, you know, getting the technology piece mapped out for us and in place. And then the demand gen team, which was focused on how do we set up a true demand gen center of excellence? How do we align SLAs? What are the goals of this team? And there's also a marketing ops team. So I believe in all there were four teams.
That makes a whole lot of sense because, again, these are all key aspects of what you need to do. And I think you guys also did a marketing audit. So tell us a little bit about how that audit worked at a high level and what was the benefit of doing that marketing audit.
Yeah, the marketing audit, Debbie, was really interesting. Again, hats off to our finance team for helping us dive in and do this. We looked at not only just talent across the organization, who was really, you know, kind of a power user and who could help us get to where we need to be, but also where do we need to train our folks and get them up to speed? And then in addition to looking at the talent piece of the audit, there was also the cost piece of the audit. So what were we spending as an organization on this RPM journey as individuals, and what could we gain by aligning spend and, you know, spending it in a more prudent fashion? So finance came back and with some very, very detailed spreadsheets of what things looked like. And we were able to really look at, you know, which business units were performing really well and where we could move the needle in a lot of cases.
That, you know, Liz, you're so right. You have to do this with finance. So you've mentioned a couple of people. You've mentioned, you know, people who were in business units. You've mentioned finance. You've mentioned some executive stakeholders. So what was the makeup of the team, and then what did the team do to finally get the project approved, and how was that presented, and just how did that work?
Sure. So the team was made up of a variety of functions. We had, as I mentioned earlier, an executive sponsor and then a chairperson, and then there were different roles within the team. Someone focused on our mid-market segment, someone focused on our small business segment, and then there was a partner segment as well. We had sales involvement. We had legal. We had HR. We had someone from our e-marketing group. it was really we pulled the best skill set from each of those groups so that we could come together and all and represent all of the different areas. And honestly, I would discourage anyone who just thinks that this is a sales and marketing thing. It is, but it's so much more than that, Debbie. You know, the fact that we had finance involved from the early stages of this to make sure that, you know, what we thought was a great idea made good financial sense. And, of course, we had our HR partners in there as well to make sure that, and I'll talk about this later, but, you know, the change management component of transforming an organization to something such as this, that's a big piece. And so all of those people had different functions on the team, and they all made the team round out the skill set. It was great. As far as next steps, what we did was this team put together a very detailed business case and a presentation deck, which, by the way, thanks again for all your involvement with that. And it was presented to our executive team, our executive leadership team. And the PowerPoint and the business case had full financial modeling in there. And we had different scenarios. You know, we had kind of our low, mid, and high financial scenarios for the executive team to digest. And so at each phase of the numbers, it made sense. But the presentation was delivered, I believe, in the middle of May, and it was approved shortly thereafter. And then we got to work putting together the team and the structure and really getting ready for the fall launch.
That's excellent. So the Renaissance team took about 6 to 8 months to do their work. There was a presentation to executives. You had key stakeholder alignment across all the major functions of the company, and now you guys are moving ahead with this fantastic model. So, Liz, I do want to talk about change management, so I'm glad you brought it up because that's the one thing that people ask me all the time. They love the idea of the RPM or the revenue marketing journey. They get it. They absolutely want to be the company that transforms marketing from being a cost center to a revenue center. They absolutely want to do that, but they're just, you know, they're kind of overwhelmed by the change management issue. So tell me a little bit about those and how you guys manage those.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up. Change management was a huge piece for me. You know me as a marketer and as a leader. I'm pretty transparent in how I operate. You know, I'm always honest that there are going to be challenges and bumps along the road. I certainly wanted to paint the most positive picture because I really do believe in it. But there's a lot of transformation going on at the same time. You know, you're consolidating systems and you're moving people and you're changing processes. And, you know, it goes back to that book, Who Moved My Cheese? You know, it's everyone has a little bit of anxiety. And, of course, when you start talking about change or transformation, people think, well, what does that mean for me? So to me, I think it's really important, if not critical, to really communicate to the org why you're doing this so that they understand the benefits that they and their customers will get. You need to be transparent and honest. It's not going to be perfect. And guys, we're going to get a few things wrong. But I think in that change management piece, Debbie, you just need to be forthcoming with your stakeholders and say, we're going to do our best. There are going to be bumps. We're going to learn. And at the end of this journey, and it is a journey, you know, we're going to evolve and evolve and evolve, and it's going to get better. I mean, the fact that we're able to align all of these skill sets and the spend and the effort and the energy, this is a very exciting time for us.
You know, that is such great advice. And one of the key points that you made, Liz, you know, beyond transparency, is that it is a journey and you will evolve. I mean, there is only a handful of companies who are making the strides that Sage North America is making right now toward creating an RPM center of excellence. I mean, it's a handful of companies. So this really puts you and the company in a very, very elite class of marketers. And because you're going to be one of the very first to do it, honestly, it's going to be in a journey and you are going to evolve. So I think you're absolutely right, Liz. Setting those expectations up front, you know, it's not like a lot of people have done this before. You have all these models that you can go out and borrow and see how someone else has done it. There's very little that has been done in this area. And yet all the tools are there. All the fundamental research is there that shows that this is going to be a great thing for Sage, And I also know that you guys had a very, very strong ROI business case, which, again, very few companies take the time to put together, and yet that was a business case that really, I think, propelled the project. So I really like the way you've kind of described change management. I it's not rocket science, but it is a lot of work.
And yeah, it is.
Keep those stakeholders in mind, you know, you'll be okay, but you just have to consistently communicate.
Yeah, and if you don't mind me keeping you on speed dial, then I think we'll be okay.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, honestly, so, Debbie, you know, when we first got this charter of, hey, how can Sage streamline new customer acquisition, it felt like, you know, how are we going to get there? And throughout the work that's been accomplished, certainly you've been a big part of this, and with the strong team that we had and the strong leadership that we had, we're really excited. A little nervous, sure, but we're ready to do this, and the enthusiasm around this is going to be big. You know, I don't want to be Pollyanna and paint the perfect picture because we need a root in reality, but I just think that where we'll be in a few months and in a year and 2 years is just extraordinary.
I completely agree. I want to come back to the organization because you painted a picture of a pretty complex organization with a vice president of revenue performance management reporting up to a C-level. You've got a demand generation center. You have a marketing ops center. You've got program management, content, best practice. I mean, you had a whole bunch of stuff in there. Are you guys filling that entire organization from the very beginning? Or, I mean, how are you building out that structure?
Well, I actually don't have all those answers right now. Where we are in this journey is we're filling the leader positions. And while we have what I would call a straw man structure on paper, and we intend to move forward in this manner, we'll be staffing the leaders, you know, over the next couple of weeks, and we'll let those leaders really flush out what exactly the org looks like. So I don't want to be too prescriptive here because it could change, but at a high level, you're right. Those are the areas that we're focused on for right now.
Okay. So, Liz, I want to ask you the next question, and that really is, let's fast forward 2 years from now, and the RPM Center of Excellence at Sage has been up and running for 2 years. What will it look like? What kind of impact do you think it will be having on the organization?
Well, first of all, it won't feel like anything new. It will just be part of our DNA. That's who we'll become as an organization of marketers, because we will just operate with such efficiency. We will have a consistent set of processes, consistent vernacular, all of that stuff. But hopefully, and it's my desire that we're in a state where we can predict, you know, what tweaks to the pipeline we could make so that we could have more impact on, you know, future revenue. And where I want to be is forward-looking and not looking back at what worked, what didn't, but be in more of a predictive state where we can say, okay, if we tweak this, then we'll expect X. And really transform the organization to that way of thinking, because for a long time, and I don't think we're unlike any other large organizations, we oftentimes will get through a program or a campaign and then look back at the metrics. But having visibility and having impact into directing the future flow of the pipeline, that will be huge.
It will be it's gigantic for any company, Liz. I mean, a lot of companies have a hard time even getting the sales pipeline to be predictable. And here you are talking about having a marketing impact on revenue and being able to actually predict that impact on revenue. That's very exciting, but it's also very possible. I mean, we now today as marketers have all the tools that we need to do this. We've got, you know, the marketing automation systems like Eloqua. We've got the CRM like Sage CRM. And we have all these fabulous tools, you know, to make all this stuff happen. So you're right. It's a very, very exciting journey for you guys. So,
yeah, but, you know, Deb, you were making a point there. You know, we have all the tools. The tools aren't going to make the change for you. The tools are a piece of that change. And I think in terms of communicating how to successfully build an org like that, just want people to know tools are a piece of it, but they're not it. You've got to get the processes and the people and really get everyone's head wrapped around this way of thinking.
And it is very, very different, and that is an excellent point. And kind of leads me into the last question for the interview, and that is, you've had this extraordinary experience and journey over about the last 3 years, because you've been working with marketing automation, you've been running marketing, you've been running sales, you've had the chance to be one of the leaders in the transformation at Sage to RPM and building a center of excellence. To all our listeners who are sitting out there, what advice would you give them, Liz, or what are your top lessons learned?
You know, my top lessons learned, I've talked about getting people on board, getting the right people on board. I would say that if you are thinking about embarking on a journey like this, get a team that covers a broad spectrum of expertise. Don't think that sales and marketing can get into a room and knock this out and drive this change within an organization. This takes leadership from the top down and then, you know, across an organization. And don't be afraid to be transparent and honest. You know, my biggest thing that I'm very fond of is be humble. You know, here's what we're trying to do. Here's what we want to do. And bring in an expert. I mean, Deb, you've been a huge help to us in this journey. You know, we have a lot of expertise internally, but we don't know it all. And so we rely on experts like yourself to help us along with that. I would say the other piece of it is be realistic. When I set out on the marketing automation implementation journey years ago, I thought that this was going to be a pretty quick transformation to our business. And as you well know, Debbie, it evolves over time. You know, when we first set up our scoring and grading methodology, we got it all wrong and we made a lot of tweaks to it. And, you know, just if you have the relationships with the people on the team and you operate with transparency and honesty, I think you'll get a lot of alignment along the way. And, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help. It really is a complex thing, but it's so transforming. And like I said before, I think this is such an amazing opportunity and super grateful to be part of it.
You know, you're right. I think all those lessons learned, you know, begin with a team that covers a broad spectrum. It has to have leadership from the top down. Not going to work. And then you have to engage leadership across the organization as well. You mentioned being transparent and humble. Bringing in an expert is always a great idea. And then finally, be realistic, because transformation does not happen overnight. It takes a while for that to happen. Now, Liz, I understand that you've got a blog out on Center of Excellence. When is that being published, and where can our listeners go read your blog?
Well, it is on B2B Online Magazine, and I believe it goes live this week. I'll shoot you a copy once it's live, and you can send it out to your listeners.
And what's the topic?
It's on developing an RPM Center of Excellence. So definitely in line with the topics we covered today. I go into a little bit more detail on some of the areas, but I'd be happy to share it with everyone.
That is excellent. Well, Liz, thank you so much. This was such an incredible interview with you. Again, the journey that you and Sage are on right now is incredibly exciting. And I hope that all our listeners learned a lot today. And please go read Liz's blog on Center of Excellence. I have also recently blogged about a Center of Excellence, and you can find our blog at revenuemarketer.com. But that's the end of our show. We'll see you next time. And in the meantime, you know, it's all about revenue marketing. Find revenue. Thanks, everybody.